You want to give us the expansive overview here, and then I just want to make a note for the record that you passed out the disclosure statements. They are available to the public. And with that,
I also passed out a little grid here. We took the a little bit different tact on this particular search, where we asked the board direction to, you know, have the interim additional due diligence with staff and consultant before the interviews today. A lot of that was trying to drill in on what was an appropriate vehicle, separate account versus the fund structure versus anything else they had on the offering table, and to give the board some guidance about where our comfort level was in terms of sizing any particular commitment. You'll see some commitment ranges on here. Treat these as a, if you wish to make a commitment, it would be in this range, not a make a commitment in this range, period. But I wanted to give some guidance. So on Aether, we heard that they're capacity constrained in their primary fund, in the main fund, in ARA 3. They've offered up the surplus fund, and really what the surplus fund is they've went through it a little bit, but just to recap, they're going to do 10 investments in ARA 3, roughly. Eight of those are not capacity constrained, two are. What they can offer us to is in a surplus fund, which another state plan may come into that fund with us, is basically exposure to the eight funds that are not capacity constrained. So we can do any kind of combination. We can give them a fairly small dollar amount into ARA 3. We can do a pretty large dollar amount into the surplus fund. It's, you know, they said unlimited. It's not unlimited, but it's a pretty large dollar amount. Or we can do a blend. We can give them a dollar amount, and they'll get us as much in the primary fund as they can, and the rest will go into the surplus fund. The surplus fund is at a lower fee, that sort of thing. That it's a little bit of a different arrangement there, but I do respect the fact that they are capacity constrained in the main fund, and they have to come up with a potential solution for us. As Jeff and Bob and Marty mentioned, this is the pretty much one of the only firms out there that is solely focused on private real assets. They've got the pedigree, they've got the history. It's a small group of people. Everything non-investment's been outsourced. One of the biggest concerns here is going to be key man risk. And my recommendation to the board was, if you want to consider an allocation to Aether, make it subject to an additional operational due diligence. This is something some of the other Sackers counties do, at least one other Sackers county does, where they basically bring in a firm that can walk through a trade analysis from when a date comes in to when dollars are deployed, you know, who has control over every step along the way. It's a smaller firm. I think it deserves a heightened level of research. The initial indications I have, the cost of the operational due diligence is something in the $15,000 to $20,000 range. It's not insignificant, but relative to the size of the commitment, it would be money well spent in this case. With BlackRock, we're looking at the separate account. We talked about they don't really have a broad real asset commingled fund. They have an infrastructure fund. They have a renewable energy fund. They don't have a broad real asset fund. The advantage is there. You get the big organization to backstop it. The disadvantage is there. This is the private equity group attempting to adapt their process to a dedicated real asset strategy. They've never done this before. In a single strategy, they've done pieces of it, you know, kind of scattered across different private equity strategies. When you talked about all their separate accounts that they have, those are all private equity separate accounts. Those are not real asset separate accounts, so just keep that in mind. They have an advisory relationship with Alaska Permanent Fund to do just the infrastructure sleeve, so they're recognized as an authority on the research side. Operationally, I think they've got a really solid process. There's a question mark. They've never done a separate account in real asset. They're doing something with AT&T right now that's fairly analogous to what we're looking at here, but it's not perfectly analogous. That's the biggest concern there. And then there's the co-investment. That's what they think sets them apart, this ability to do these co-investments. If they can generate the excess returns off co-investments, I say great. However, you got to keep in mind that you are concentrating your risk to single assets then. You're not spread across, you know, it's not $10 million spread across an underlying fund, spread across 10 other strategies. It's, you know, $10, $20 million to, well, it wouldn't be that much, but $3, $4, $5 million to a single company, a single investment idea. There is concentration risk there. The other thing to consider with them is they are only offering a separate account. They have a $70 million minimum, and that's really to build out a diversified program. They think they need $70 million. I put it in writing on here, my comfort level is probably at a somewhat lower dollar amount than that. I could see getting up there, But the upper end of my personal range, what I recommend to the board, I talk about $40 to $80 million. So their $70 million minimum is bumping up against kind of my comfort level maximum. Just as an FYI, the board can choose to use any dollar amount you wish, but I figured I'd give you my 2 cents there. And on Common Fund, they offered up both a fund and a separate account option. Again, on their separate account, they had a very high dollar minimum. I think they started at $100 million, and they said, well, maybe we could squeeze by with 75. Well, 75 is half of what we're looking to deploy, and they are, as much as they talked about having a very broad platform, they are focused on that energy segment. That's their bread and butter. That's where they make their money. So given that high separate account minimum, the recommendation from staff is to go into the fund. The recommendation is more of a $25 to $50 million commitment size if you choose to make a commitment to them. The plus side, they've been doing this forever. They've been doing this for 20 plus years. There's not a lot of question about the track record. One of the downsides, they were talking about the 2.2x return. That was generated off, some of the deals where they got oil at $9 and they're selling it at $90. Like, is that replicable? I don't know. But they do have a very good long-term track record. The two downsides with them, as you heard, they have been focused on the endowment and foundation segments. They talked about having public clients. Well, that's public universities. Public retirement plans, that's new to them. So there could be some client servicing issues. I haven't seen any red flags, but just be aware they don't have a background there. And given that they have the energy focused, if we make a significant allocation to Common Fund, as we build out the private side of this over 2, 3, 4 years, we're probably going to have to adapt around that exposure. And that, so we're not getting as broadly a diversified program. So whatever we bring in subsequent rounds is probably going to have to be more of a direct diversifier to Common Fund. But that's the snapshot from my perspective there.
Tim, could you spend a moment on what the issue might be if we're their first public retirement fund? Is it the reporting might not meet our requirements? What would be the issue as far as?
Yeah, my first concern would be the legal side of it. Being able to negotiate a satisfactory side letter that addresses the fact that we're covered by California law, the fact that we're covered by California public records request, that sort of thing. They have assured us that everything will be fine. I've never had a firm not assure me that everything will be fine. Until we get through legal negotiations, we don't know how that's going to go. The reporting is a concern. The client service is a concern. It's not a huge concern. I think they've got the background. They've been doing this for a long time. Milliman's got a long background with the firm. Has there ever been a problem with Common Fund reporting?
No.
No. So chances are it's been mitigated, but they don't have that client
service. And they do have a local office, and they seem, of course, that they're trying to get hired at the moment, but they seem very anxious to help. So.
Yeah.
I would suspect it would work out.
Bob, when you say local office, where?
San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Marketing and client service is based there. None of the investment staff.
Okay.
Good question on the Aether. So what would be the difference between the ARA 3 and the surplus?
The ARA 3 would be their main fund. That's the fund they're raising now that they suspect is going to be oversubscribed and that sort of thing. The surplus basically takes for very large institutional investors, and quite frankly, they're only talking to us and one unnamed state plan on the East Coast, somewhat near Boston. Take it for what it's worth. That basically, if they put 10 funds into ARA 3, they suspect that 8 of those funds can take a lot more than what they're going to commit to. But because they said they even ones that are smaller funds, they want to make material to their fund, they're probably going to try and make $25 million commitments, give or take, to every fund. It's relatively equally weighted in their prior funds. So 2 of those funds can really not take anything larger than that. The other 8 might be able to. So what they'll do is take, they will take the 8 that don't have capacity constraint and also put them into the surplus fund. So the surplus fund will look similar to the main fund, but it'll lose a few of the smaller funds. Will they put anything additional in there? It's doubtful, but it's probably just the main fund minus the 2 capacity constraint funds.
It's probably 8 of the 10 same funds. And they do have lower fees on that surplus fund.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to look at the differences in the fees and kind of get my brain wrapped around it. Common Fund, it was pretty easy. It's 0.74. You add their carry interest rate plus the 53 basis points, and they're pretty stable. Aether, they have two levels of fees, one for the surplus fund that's different than the average fund, and it's a declining five-year decline. So the surplus fund ran 95 basis points, I think, to 35 basis points, and the average one ran 90 to 30. So that's looking at their fee plus their carry interest fee together. So, but I really didn't understand BlackRock. BlackRock has, well, they said they would only charge, I know what they invest, but they had 10% and 1%. You know, so help me to understand their how they were structuring
their fees. Yeah, we really need to separate the management fee from the carry and talk about those separately.
Can you take one step back from there and just go through management key and how the carry, what that means and how that's computed?
Jeff.
Sure.
Give us a simple 1A answer.
The management fee, you know, is effectively the same thing you'd be paying with public equity, public debt manager. It's just the fee for management. The carry is the incentive fee for the managers. They only get paid this carry once they hit a predetermined hurdle rate. For several
a predetermined what?
Hurdle rate.
After
hurdle
so much rate. Return. Return. After they return so much.
Looking on page 9, Aether takes 5% of profits after they've earned 7% for return. BlackRock,
it's
kind of a mix, no carried interest on primary, 10% on secondary after 8, and then Common Fund, the lowest, both management fee and carry, 2.5% of carried interest after the return on invested capital.
Now, Jeff, the Common Fund fee in here is for a separate account.
This is
a separate account.
In a minimum report,
so you pay it no matter what.
So the Common Fund fee is on page 49 of our report.
Or 25 of their book, whichever one you have handy.
Mm-hmm.
Or page 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, split.
Yeah, it's split.
Common Fund on the fund is going to be 2.5%.
So I have to leave because I can't eat in front of staff, and there's a line that crossed the street.
Oh, sorry. Welcome back.
Common Fund's carry is 2.5%. Carried interest on fund of funds direct and a direct investment.
Right. That's why I said it was 74 basis points, right? Because you take the 53 basis points and then you add the 2.5%. Right.
Well, that 74 implies that the that you get a double over over a, whatever the period is here. So that's going to vary depending on how much money they make, of course.
It only applies after that.
Okay. That
preferred return.
One of the other differentiators is you'll notice on Common Fund, the fee is on committed capital. So if we commit, make it easy, $100 million, it's 50 basis points on that. BlackRock was on invested capital, so only what's actually been drawn down. And Aether was on committed capital as well, correct?
Yeah. It's split during. Yeah.
And BlackRock says they're not going to make their investments. They're making their investment over 3 years, three generations. So you're not going to be paying fees for a while if it's only on committed capital.
Probably linearly ramps up over 3 years.
We're just discussing fees, the differences between the three companies.
Jeff, if I could pick up on Maria. On your page 9, let's go carried interest fee schedule. Carried interest is 5% of profits after a 7% preferred return. Okay, so we take all profits, we subtract 7% return. 7%. Preferred, the balance times 5% is the cost. Okay, next one down, no carried interest, 10% carried interest on secondary and directed co-investment after an 8% preferred return. Does that mean 10% of
profits?
Okay, all right. Then we get down to Common Fund, 2.5% carried after a return of invested capital. 2.5% of what?
2.5% is profits after they've paid back the principal you put in.
There's no hurdle rate. No hurdle rate. No preferred return to it.
So common fund numbers are lower as they're presented, the way the fees come out.
As a suggestion for these in the future, having a numeric model simplified for each one. Let's assume we invest $50 million. We assume there's a 10% rate of return. Carried interest for each one would be X, Y, and Z would be helpful to me.
I think that's a great idea.
That's a very good idea.
Would you just take a second, Tim, and do the quick explanation of this chart for Terry, so he's here. I want him to know what you.
So, Terry, you got a few minutes. This little grid here. Basically, because we did the additional level of due diligence with staff,
it's a double over 12.
We tried to zero in on what was the appropriate vehicle for each firm, what kind of, where staff comfort level was with any particular allocation. We're not saying make these allocations. We're saying if you make an allocation, this is kind of the dollar amount we're looking at here. And what the strengths and concerns are with each firm. Really quickly, we think Aether is focused, dedicated on this. The downside is small group, you got key man risk. BlackRock, you've got a very large established private equity group. They're trying to adapt the process over to the real asset space, and there's some danger about them having a misstep along the way. In Common Fund, they've been doing this a long time. They're a very well-established team. They're a very well-established product. It's just a narrower opportunity set relative to the other two. And so if there is a significant allocation to Common Fund, keep in mind that future allocations from Contra Costa are going to have to go to funds that diversify around Common Fund. And there was one thing I neglected to mention. We did an analysis of the underlying funds that BlackRock and Common Fund had proposed or had said they were going to use. And the overlap with Adams Street and Pathway. With Common Fund, there was one overlap, not significant. With BlackRock, four of the 24 funds that they proposed were already in Adams Street portfolios. So there is significant overlap with Adams Street there. It'd be like 17% of the lineup.
That's with Common Fund?
No, that's with BlackRock.
BlackRock.
Common Fund had one. Fund overlap with Pathway, I believe.
Because I was, as I listened to them and what they went through the presentation, I was somewhat concerned, and this was brought up before they all came in. It seems like on the energy side, what they're investing in are EIF funds.
Competitors to EIF, they're a bit more upstream than EIF is. They're doing the energy production a bit more.
Okay.
What is the term I hear, upstream, midstream, and down? What does that all
mean? upstream, think of it as oil production, oil field services, actually buying land, drilling the wells. That's upstream. Midstream would be pipelines, transmission lines, power lines, something that gets it from wherever that power source is generated to where it's going to be used. And downstream would be more the EIF, the users of it. They're building power plants that are naturally, fired by natural gas, and, then they're selling that power down the line. So actually EIF is downstream in a natural gas sense and midstream in an electricity sense.
Okay. Marilyn has a question.
I have a question for Tim. This was very beneficial for staff to meet with the three different funds first because we got a feel for what they understand our staffing level was. We know that Aether got it. We know that Common Fund has a commingled fund. How do you feel about BlackRock and their understanding of our ability to put staff in and work with them closely to identify GPs? Or did you get the feeling that they get it now?
They've made progress on that front. What we still heard was, I think with the larger BlackRock public fund clients, they have a semi-advisory relationship for the most part, where they really try to partner with staff, and they're partnering with very large firms. They're going to have dedicated staff to private equity or to real assets or infrastructure. So they work with New Jersey and Texas Teachers and Alaska Permanent Fund. These are very, very large funds with 15, 20, 30 investment staff. Their initial conversations with us were, we can come in and we can talk about individual GPs. And that's wonderful. That's a nice conversation to have. That can't be part of the investment process. And the investment process really got to be separate from that. I'd love the ability with any one of these firms to step in, learn about something, and step out. But Chi-Chi and I cannot be part of an investment process at this point. With staff with two people, we're not there. So they made progress on that front, but we still heard a couple times that they would like to involve staff. And I'd love the option, but it can't be part of the dedicated process.
Okay, Terry.
Looking at this list with Athier, you know, you have key man risk is significant. I don't think it's as significant as we may think because there's two of them. I could see one at some point, if one of them leaves, there's still one left. So I'm not as concerned with that. But my concern with BlackRock was the core stuff and talking about toll roads and things like that. To me, toll roads are something that you're going to want to get and hold on to. I don't think it would be in something like this.
Yeah, and I think he ran with the toll road example and probably did not mean to. I haven't actually seen a toll road in their portfolio.
But I mean, would they be thinking that? Because I wouldn't think that a toll road.
No, but a port where you have fees. An income stream that you could potentially come in there and from a private equity standpoint, improve the operations right. And then resell. It is one of the concerns in the real asset space, the fact that you have incredibly long-lived assets, farmland, off, you know, and that was ports, et cetera. And we have incredibly long life liabilities on our side, and we're kind of imposing this fund structure in between that sometimes fits and sometimes doesn't. So I do worry about that duration mismatch.
And that was another thing at NC PERS, like one of the breakouts was agriculture and investing things. And the two speakers up there both said, I wouldn't go anywhere near Russia. And these guys are, oh, yeah, we're looking at Russia, but it's only a small percentage. Well, if you lose it,
it was interesting to hear the difference in comments of, you know, last group talking about Russia and really Ukraine, I think, is really more where the focus is there. Like, that's great. And when you start buying farmland, which if you think about repatriation risk, if you're feeling threatened as a country, and somebody's growing food there, and they own the land, to me, that's the number one risk.
Right.
Where with the first group, you know, they talk about being more opportunistic. Say, when we went to South America, we did agribusiness. We're not buying the land. There are ways to mitigate that. I'm very concerned about buying something in a country that does not have very, very solid established rule of law and a very, very solid institutional ownership of farmland that goes back decades.
But that's also the fund where we would have the ability to say, we don't want to be in Russia. And they'd go, okay. We'll
yeah, but are we going to actually drill down that far when he just said that they don't have time to get involved in it?
Well, there's 10 funds, and I think, you know, because it's a custom fund, we do have say, and we can put parameters on them and say, no, we don't want to be in Russia.
Right. You can put parameters on, but you as a board are going to have to come together and decide what those parameters are. Mm-hmm. It's an additional level. Additional level of customization, you can, you know, kind of fine-tune it. It's more work for the board and it's more work for staff. And there is the concern that are you truly getting best ideas when you're imposing a lot of restrictions on somebody?
Something I ought to mention here on Aether, there is a preferred return of 7%, but if they make considerably more than 7%, they will take the 5% carry on the entire amount. There's that 50% catch-up. So after a couple of percent, they're taking a full 5%, whereas a common fund is always going to take 2.5%. So Aether's given reasonable return expectations is going to charge more than common fund.
Is that something we can negotiate?
You can negotiate the carry. Less likely you'd be able to negotiate the management fee. The carry fee.
And the
especially
management
fee
is high, too.
In other words, you might be able to lower
the surplus,
than 5%
but not on
carry.
That. Well,
one thing, too, with Aether, they're offering a 25% discount on their 5% carry, so you get down to 3.75.
Which is still lower than 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Higher than 2.
What?
Well, that's fuzzy math.
Yeah. And that's if you make it by first close, which if you make a decision today to hire Aether, you would. And I would bet that that's pulled over into the separate account as well.
Okay. So, Gabe, you want to, how do you want to do this? You want to, Gabe, I get to have to go around this way and everybody kind of give their feeling, but I want to make sure everybody's questions are answered before we do that.
Well, I was just going to, and I don't know if it was discussed, can we look at putting it into two of the funds, or does it all have to go into one?
You can do 0, 1, 2, or 3.
You don't have to do anything today if you don't have to,
right? Right. You can put it all in one, you can put a little bit in each one, you can divide it among two.
Or we can say bring us three more.
Or you could just say forget it, we'll start over.
Right. Are any of these funds closing soon?
Yes.
Common Fund is closing on June 14th. We have to make a decision on that.
If you want to be in them, you got to
and,
be in
and
them. And if you
probably
want the 3%, 3.75, you should make a decision on Aether.
Right.
Well, Aether, like I said, they're...
That's not till year end, anyway.
Yeah, the first close
November.
November. And
Common Fund is the one with the timeline that's very near. The other two are November. Quite a ways out.
You don't want to put $25 million in Common Fund. Tim recommended 25 to 50. It, 25 is, given the size of your fund, is small.
That's a minimum allocation.
Really.
Yeah. I just one last point. On your recommendation on Aether for the ARA 3 fund, the $25 million, I'm assuming you're basing that on our kind of principle of 10% of the fund that they raised. If it's $300 million, it would be around 30, right? I mean, that's sort of your...
It was actually based upon feedback of what kind of capacity they thought they would have for us.
Okay. And just to let the new board members know, there have been times the board has voted to do more than 10%. We haven't done it often, but it's been a rare occasion.
So we're looking
in this case, we have the opportunity to do the surplus fund if you right. really want to do
we're
it.
We're looking at $150 million today?
Yeah.
Up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we were to go to 150 between Aether and Common Fund, we couldn't do it based on your maxes, right? Your maxes would be $115 million.
The board can set their own maximums.
Recommendation. I want to make sure I understand what you would do.
But you have no obligation to get to 150.
Right.
You do whatever you
we
want.
This will be an ongoing iterative process where staff is going to be out in the market looking for additional funds. Millen is going to be out in the market looking for additional funds. And it's going to be like the real estate where we keep coming back to you with funds as they, as we do some due diligence, they look interesting, we bring them back to you. So. You should not be under any obligation to deploy 150 today.
Okay.
If you want
if
to,
you'd like
you can.
To.
You don't have to. So, Gabe, what would you like
well,
to
Well, I like Aether and Common Fund. I'm strong in those two.
Okay.
I'd be comfortable with $50 million in Common Fund and it's about the same in Aether.
I was wondering about 50 and 25, so it's half.
Yeah.
That'd be $75 million, it leaves 75 for either down the road for a different one, or if these work out, that we can increase down the road also.
And even at 75, I'd be good with 50-50 or something like that, if that works.
Yeah, it's
37.5.
Okay. I have to give the board some guidance on
Aether. Fine. Okay.
Because it's a little bit of an oddball structure that we're splitting between two funds, we're capacity constrained on the main fund. There is a minimum on the surplus fund.
50.
So we could get up to 25 in the main fund. They need 50 to launch the surplus fund.
Well, do we want the surplus fund, or do we just...
Well, what you could do is you could just say, look, we'll put up to 50 in the main fund, give us as much as you can, and you don't know what you're going to end up with. If you don't want to go to the full amount
75
to
is
get
the minimum? Under the surplus fund...
They said to be cost-effective and diversified in the surplus fund, they really need $50 million. Now, if they get another plan to come in there alongside us, it needs to be $50 million collectively. But
so that would be the 75.
Yeah.
That would be 65 to 75.
But if that feels like too much, just say we'll give you up to 50, depending on what you can do for us.
And we can have a conversation with them and see what that would look like.
So, Gabe, what would you like to do again after that conversation? I want to make sure I understand it. It was $50 million to Common Fund, and then what do you want to do about Aether?
I'd say 50. Be my recommendation.
All right. So, Deborah, where are you?
I still would like to stay with the 25 to Aether or 30, a maximum of 30 to Aether, because that's 10% of the fund. And I think once we start going too much over that, we're becoming too big of a part of the fund. So, I mean, I would say 30 and you've got to go 50 to the other one. I think 25 or as much as they can take in the ARA3, and 50 to the surplus. Was that their max? That was their minimum. Was
that's 50? Their minimum to get the surplus off the ground. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 50 to the common fund.
So let me see if I understood you. I think what you said was you're willing to go up to the 10%, which is 30 for the regular ARA 3 fund, and you're and if they can't take 30 and we get stuck with 20 or 25, then that's what it is. But you're willing to do 50 for the surplus minimum just to get into the surplus.
Well, so in the surplus fund, then we end up being up to 50% of that fund, right?
We could theoretically be 100% of that fund. It could be our own fund. Or we could be sharing it with another public fund.
I'm going to go with what Gabe said, up to 50 in the ARA fund and 50 in the common fund. I'll leave the other 50 where it's at.
Okay, and then what do you want to do about common? Well, 50, common 50. Okay. All right, what would you like to do, Russ? What do you feel?
I'd like to invest only in Ether, just as it's proposed here.
Okay.
The 15 and 25.
Okay.
How much? 50.
He's just ready to select one manager.
The surplus 25.
Oh, okay. Ready to go 75 to Ether and forget about the others.
No spending more money.
Mm-hmm. Spend?
Don't.
Well,
invest.
We invest.
Invest. Yes. Yeah. That little term.
We're so not Jerry, buying them.
Jerry, how do you feel?
Don't lose them.
I've liked Common Fund from the beginning, so I'd go 50 with Common Fund, and I would like to do. With Aretha, I don't want BlackRock for sure. Aretha, the 50-75 combination on top.
25 plus 50. 50.
So he's ready to go 75 for Aether and 50 million for Common. Yeah. Okay, I actually support that too. I would go with the 75 million as you recommended for Aether and go 50 with Common Fund. And I would like to think about BlackRock as something I'd like to think about a little bit longer, not necessarily throw them out, but maybe down the road see how they do with this. And if they look like they actually get it off the ground next year, when you bring back, maybe it'd be interesting to see what they've done.
You know, I'm not sure. Won't getting anything off the ground unless you give them.
Unless
money.
We do. Unless it. We they do wanted to start it
somebody
with us.
AT&T's got that account, but it's
we'll see.
Yeah, around the edges.
Okay. Yeah, these are really the private equity. People that are okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll pass on BlackRock this round. I'm okay with that.
I assume BlackRock 70 is the minimum, and that's for that separate account. Right. And we're 100% obviously of that. And for that, for those reasons, I'd say not to go with BlackRock. My preference would be 50 and 50, or up to 50. I think I'd stay away from the surplus account in terms of my first preference on it.
I think you can't get to 50 without going there, probably. But anyway.
In other words, we go as high as high as we can in the main account up to 50.
Right, got it.
Okay.
I have a question. On the surplus, if we were the only fund in it, good
yes,
or bad, if we were in it with another investor, good or bad? What's the pros and cons of the surplus?
If we're the only one in there, we get obviously more control to set the terms. It really becomes a fund of one. Mm-hmm. How much you want to change the terms? They're fairly friendly from the investment standpoint. We obviously want legal review of that, but we have more leverage to get that changed. Quite frankly, if we're the first one in it, we've got quite a bit of leverage to get it changed as well. If we're in there with another organization, the advantage is you have fixed costs of legal, audit, that sort of thing, that are charged to the fund. We'd be sharing them. We'd be paying half of it instead of 100% of those fixed costs. And Aether's been pretty transparent about what they anticipate those costs would be.
And as an investment guy, do you feel comfortable with if we were the only ones in the surplus?
Yes. Not at an unlimited dollar amount, but
right.
at the numbers I laid out here, yes.
Then I would go the 75 Aether and 50 common fund. for the 25 and 50.
John, you only said 50 for Aether. Did you want to make any other commitment today? I just want to make sure I heard it.
Yes, and 50 for Commonwealth.
Commonwealth. Okay, yep. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay, Jerry, close up our deal.
Yeah, I had the same split as Terry did. 50 for Common Fund and 75 for Aether. 25 and 50.
Okay. So people want to make a kind of a motion. I think we're kind of.
Well, what was close. The majority? It sounded like the majority,
telling
was,
it out.
Like the majority was 75.
For 50, Aether, there's 1, 2, 3, 5 for 75 million. And 3 for 50 million.
She needs a motion, though. So I'll make I'll make a motion that we give Common Fund 50 million, and then we give Aether 75 million, with 25 going to 3 and the 50 going to the surplus.
Okay, with you don't need to do that. Oh. You'd probably rather get as much as you can in the.
Okay, fine. 75 million to Aether, period.
Okay. And with as much as you can into the
primary.
Subject to due diligence and the standard. Procedure.
And see if we can get that 3.75, you know, seal up that carry cost.
You know. I missed something?
And authorize signature.
Yeah. He wants to say something.
Did the board want to consider doing the operational due diligence on Aether?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
We'll make that happen then.
I think a point was made earlier in the meeting that since they off account their administrative, we got to go view that. Normally, we would see that on site.
Right.
Since they contracted out, you have to go visit the contractors.
That needs to be part of the motion, then?
No, that's the due diligence. But the additional motion we might need is this is something brand new that we've never done before. It's on top of our due diligence.
Right.
It's to hire an outside auditing firm to run an investment transaction all the way through the gamut here. And there is a charge for that, and it's called an operational
due diligence. Mm-hmm. And they do an on-site visit. They run through everything.
What does that usually run?
That's 15 to 20,000.
15 to 20,000 is the typical range.
Okay.
When you're investing up to 75 million, this is really worth
called
it.
For. Yeah. To me, it's a lot.
it is a lot of money.
Very small, very really small organization.
You would hate to have something go wrong. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that would be a good bargaining chip when you go back to them about the fees and try to lever that down. Look, we're going to have to spend.
Have them pay for it.
They probably will. Yeah. Okay, so if I can get a motion for that,
that was your motion.
I will add that to my motion that we have operational expenses to do an audit on them.
Could they also use that audit as a promo if they go try to sell the product?
Well,
to others?
We're going to own the results.
So we could sell it.
I like the way you think.
Well, if it's positive, they may want to give us a little lower fee so they can have access to it, right?
Okay, I still need a second.
Okay, second, and second again over here. So Deborah and Terry both second. Good choice. All right, there's a motion on the floor. Is there any more questions or discussion? All right, ready to vote. I'm going with the motion on the floor to provide 75 million to Aether, mixed between the RF3 and the surplus fund, and 50 million to Common Fund, including operational review of Aether, site visit, legal considerations.
And authorize the CEO.
Authorize due diligence. And with that, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any objections? Great. We got a deal. Hopefully.
That's good, baby.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now we're moving on to our value-added real estate.